CliffCentral.com.
Hey, hey, it's Friday. You made it.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Isn't that great? Nice.
Finally.
Yes, I know. I'm so childish because actually, like, Friday's just... It's not more special than other days. You just got 2 days to mess around and be lazy and useless and...
It's a day to say, oh, we'll deal with that on Monday.
Yes. Yes.
So procrastinator's delight.
Speaking of procrastinators, Sia's finally started to sort out his office. How long have you been in there?
How long?
A year? You've been in there a year? He's been living with this really bad paint job on the walls and... Like, no furniture at all. He's got, like, a table.
I always thought it was a temporary office.
Yeah, well, that's because he's done nothing with it. Like, it would be like moving into a house and not even putting up a single picture.
No. Wait, did you see the couch in there, guys?
Yeah. Yes.
The casting couch.
If one more person calls my beautifully chosen couch a casting couch.
Oh, I'm going to see the couch.
It diminishes it.
Go and have a look.
I'm going to go and have a look. I'll go and have a look and I'll report back.
Take a picture of it as well.
Yeah.
And then we can put it up on the website.
It's still a work in progress because I still have to bring frames from home.
Mm-hmm.
For my new bookshelf.
Yes, he's got a bookshelf. He's trying to, you know, settle into his office finally.
And no one is allowed to complain about what I do in there.
No, you can decorate it as you like. You can get RuPaul to come and decorate it for you and I won't complain.
We need cast in there, boy.
See,
we need more candles in there.
See, what this is Gugu projecting what he would do if he had an office. He would, and then we would be up on Me Too charges before the end of the week.
Oh, sorry, guys.
A little nasty and sordid.
So what do you think, ass?
Wow. That's quite a transformation. It looks like someone actually works in there now.
From the bare bones that it was originally.
A bookcase and lots of books and a casting couch.
Leanne Moll. I had faith in you. But you know, the color scheme matches now. There are cushions in there. I was saying while you were out, I need more candles and picture frames, then we'll be fine.
Very good. Well done.
Put some candles on the windowsill and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just easily taken me a couple of months.
Sia and Leanne were having a discussion, a debate, an argument about what is what you would qualify as aggressive hooting and what you would call like gentle hooting. Because often at the gate here, the security guard either falls asleep. I mean, this happens often in various places, right? I mean, it must be the most boring.
I don't blame them at all.
Yeah, what a horrible, boring job to just have to open and close gates for people. So obviously these guys fall asleep from time to time. Or they might need to go for a pee.
They're not there. Yeah. It's taking a dump or something.
Or they're scouring the property.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, it's annoying if you're sitting in front of the gate and you're probably running late or you need to be at a meeting or, you know, and then the gate's closed. So you hoot.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between hooting like beep and going.
Yeah. So I pitched up this morning. None of you had arrived except for Gugu. So I thought, well, and the gate was not opening. So I thought, well, I'll sit here and wait until somebody else arrives.
That's patient.
And I'm sitting there and waiting. Anybody else would have hooted by now.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, no, I'll take wait as long as it takes. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I don't like using my hooter. I think, see, I just got a fright. It's so obnoxious.
It really is.
So I didn't hoot. And then I saw Sia pull up and I waited a little more. And then I tried you try and push it so softly.
And nothing happened.
And that's...
That's what we were aiming
that's
for.
That's what I was aiming for.
You see, that's jovial, friendly. Yeah.
And then Sia and I said, we just are not hooters.
No.
So the thought, you know those people who lean over your passengers and hoot for you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, I want to die.
If you're not going to hoot, someone has to.
No, it freaked me out.
I want to die. I just want to get out the car and hide in a bush.
And the reason why Leanne and I got talking about it this morning was because I was... as I was behind her, I was also contemplating, I know he's probably not in his hut, so he probably needs to be alerted, and I know I need to hoot, so let me also try. Let me just try to hoot from my side. Yeah. And I was trying to get the perfect angle on my steering wheel
right.
to press so that it's just a tiny honk. And as I was about to do that, I heard a hoot.
So you both hooted.
So then I got a panic. I was thinking, was that me or was it her? Was it me? Was it her? Who's the horrible person?
You got to own that hoot.
I mean, we were given hooters for a reason, right?
Yes. Yeah, pulled up to a garage last night, late, I think around 10. And I waited maybe 10, 15 seconds. No one attended to me. And guess what?
You're so impatient. Only 10 seconds.
Yeah, I hooted.
You popped.
And I put it in drive because I was about to leave. And I hooted again. And this lady pulls up with the meanest face.
So yeah. She looked down on you for hooting.
Yeah, and then I had to be super friendly and be like, hello, can I get some diesel, please?
Oh, my goodness. No. Well, like, full disclosure, I've been this person as well. And you guys know how tiny my car is, and I have a 1.1 engine, so I don't know what I'm thinking when I do this. But I sometimes pull up to a gate.
Sorry, did you just hear Gugu giggle like a girl? Yeah.
First time ever.
Sorry, I had coffee.
But I pull up to a gate and I try my best to rev the car as loudly as possible because I think that's a little gentle.
Not in that car.
That's a little gentle than a hooter.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
That's revving. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my word.
It doesn't make a difference to our security guard. Who knows?
Well, you know, we've been talking a lot about climate change and all of that stuff. And, you know, Greta was at the UN last week and everybody was talking about that. And lots of people in South Africa who are interested in climate change. Well, I've got two pieces of evidence that climate change people are full of shit.
I know.
Yeah, the first one is at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's town hall meeting yesterday. She's, of course, the freshman congresswoman who, you know, like, really wants to, like, change the world for, like, the better. And she's, like, got great ideas in the Green New Deal and, like, all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a recording from a town hall meeting she had yesterday. Now, it is possible that this is someone who is acting, who has been employed by her enemies to make her sound like she's running a lunatic asylum instead of a town hall. But there's also the possibility that she and her policies attract mentally ill people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll play this for you and let you listen to it, because there's no evidence in this clip that the woman is an actress. It seems she is one of those extreme climate change people who just thinks we've got to do whatever it takes to save ourselves from climate change. You listen to this and then you decide, all right? So now she's busy. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is busy taking questions from the audience, and this is what happens, all right?
Listen. Max Ely, may you raise your hands, please?
All right, listen to this.
Okay. Yeah,
but,
great.
But we're not going to be here for much long because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel. It's not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. Don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. We'll go ahead.
Okay.
That doesn't sound.
Yeah.
No, we'll go ahead. It's no.
Listen to Ocasio-Cortez taking it totally seriously because these are her constituents.
I think,
she's still going case.
One of the things that's very important to us is that we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present.
See, I mean, she's totally taking it seriously. Anyway, I just listened to this and I was like, well, you see? This is what I was saying the other day about how these people who, it's almost like a religion for them on the far left, that they talk like, you know those people who talk in tongues and get possessed by demons and that kind of shit?
Basically, you're fucking with the people who are on the border of schizophrenia.
Right. Right.
They're waiting.
They're drawn to this stuff.
They're
like
waiting
a magnet
for any sort of drama to latch onto.
Yes.
Not them. Let's say their minds and the chemicals in their brain.
Yeah, sure.
And they want to eat babies now.
And now it's...
This woman was actually wearing a T-shirt with that phrase printed on it.
Yes, exactly.
Save the planet, eat the children.
Well, I've got another one to play for you. This is on an Australian TV show, and there's this girl in the audience who says to Jordan Peterson, who's, of course, someone we've had on the show before, and he's a very calm psychologist who's had years and years in as a clinician, and now he's a speaker, and he's written books called, you know, the one is the 12 Rules for Life, which has been a New York Times bestseller, and, you know, it's been at the top of the charts on Amazon for a couple of months now. So here he is on a show, an Australian TV show, and this girl in the audience is saying to him, individual responsibility is bullshit. We need collective responsibility. And Jordan Peterson's wrong. So listen to this, and you just tell me whether he's handled this beautifully and whether this girl is just a nutcase or not. So another climate change lunatic. Take a listen.
What is your answer to young people for some of the really big problems facing humanity, like the, you know, climate catastrophe? Because they just don't, like, you talk all this much about individual responsibility. Most of us are never going to be able to afford to have all of these assets to have responsibility over. So what is your advice beyond banal comments like clean your room?
Well, you know, it's actually rather difficult to answer a question that ends with your comments are banal, politely. So, you know, I would consider that more of an opinionated personal and political statement than actually a question. So why don't you try reformulating that so that there's an actual question there?
So what is your advice to young people when you talk about you need to be individually responsible, but when there are things that are so far out of our control, like climate catastrophe, like, you know, the economic crisis, what is your answer to people who are facing these questions?
Do you think that you're worse off than your grandparents?
I think there are different challenges.
Do you think you're worse off than your grandparents?
Try answering the question about collective responsibility on climate change, for example. Pick one part of that, because the argument, I think, is that individual responsibility does not change the climate, does not fix the problem that needs global collective responsibility. So I think that's the core of the question. Do you have a theory about that?
Well, fundamentally, I'm a psychologist, and my experience has been that people can do a tremendous amount of good for themselves and for the people who are immediately around them by looking to their own inadequacies and their own flaws and the things that they're not doing in their lives and starting to build themselves up as more powerful individuals. And if they're capable of doing that, and then they're capable of expanding their career. And if they're capable of expanding their career and their competence, then they're capable of taking their place in the community as effective leaders. And then they're capable of making wise decisions instead of unwise decisions when it comes to making collective political decisions. I'm not suggesting in the least, and have never suggested, that there's no domain for social action. I'm suggesting that people who don't have their own houses in order should be very careful before they go about reorganizing the world, which happens in many ways.
If a young person believes that the climate, the global warming problem on the climate is something that needs to be tackled quickly, and they can't wait until they grow up and become prime ministers to do it, do you think collective responsibility overrides individual responsibility in a huge issue like that?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I think generally people have things that are more within their personal purview that are more difficult to deal with and that they're avoiding, and that generally the way they avoid them is by adopting pseudo-moralistic stances on large-scale social issues so that they look good to their friends and their neighbors. That's what it looks like.
Which is which is pretty much correct.
Wow, I mean, yeah.
Like, she was put in her place. And by the way, she's a fat girl, and she's sitting in the audience and shaking her head while he's answering the question, like, no, you're wrong. I'm like, well, you could start off by taking control of your own life, but she can't even do that. Because she looks like one of these bitter and twisted, fat sour, girls. Angry fat girls.
Yeah.
Who's like, and I thought, you know, well, there
can't
we go.
Can't take her seriously.
No. Sorry. Cross.
Don't know so much about that.
When people have fanatical behavior, to me, that's always worrying.
Well, this is the point, right? You know, fanaticism. But like Leanne was saying just now, if you are setting up a magnet for...
susceptible people.
Yeah, vulnerable people. And then they come towards your magnet. You can't then go... well, my position is still a good one. It isn't. You're attracting... the reason those people are coming to you is because that stuff is... it's like catnip for cats, you know?
Because there were climate change activists that were arrested yesterday in London.
Yeah.
Because they went as far as wanting to stage this huge demonstration. So they rented out an old fire truck or fire engine for this massive display. And they loaded the fire engine up with fake blood. So it was just water with red food coloring. And they wanted to spray it over crowds. What ended up happening is, because they can't really control this fire engine, the engine itself started flooding, and so streets were full of this red liquid going down all over these roads.
And can you imagine now someone has to clean that up?
And
why blood? What was their thing about blood when it's got to do with climate change?
Four people were arrested and charged.
It's got to be shocking, and it's got to be terrifying, and it's like that woman, that crazy woman said, we got a few months to live.
And start eating the babies.
I mean, you know what? Humanity, there is no way that anyone who's alive right now is going to die from anything from climate change. Trust me. We were talking to someone just yesterday in the Burning Platform, Ivo. He was saying more people die of indoor pollution in South Africa than outdoor pollution because of fires that are made in houses. Now, you know, let's just prioritize here. I do think there's hysteria around this.
Yeah.
Hysteria. It's like people need a cause. Go and listen to the Burning Platform from yesterday, because Ivo and I had a conversation, and I've actually talked about this with somebody called Peter Boghossian, who you'll hear on the show next week or the week after while I'm away in New York. You'll hear from him. He's a you know, an academic. He's a professor of philosophy in Portland, in Oregon, and he's also just written a book about how you can argue with people better and how you can have meaningful conversations with people you disagree with. Because now we need to write books about how to do that. We've forgotten how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think you might find that conversation interesting too, because it seems that where a lot of people have given up on actual religion, they're now replacing that in their world with this moral righteousness
and this
sense of like, I'm better than you and I'll prove it by caring more about the climate. But they don't have to do anything. They just have to say they care more. And then if someone doesn't use a plastic, doesn't use a paper straw or something, that they, you know, that's the new blasphemy. And this is what human nature is. Nothing's changed. They're burning witches now, except the witches they're burning now are climate deniers. And the crazies who are gathering around the pyre to burn those witches are the ones who've got a problem. As always, nothing has changed. You know,
blasphemer! Always have to be so extreme. Because I don't have the figures to prove it. I haven't seen the figures. Mm-hmm. I haven't studied them. I didn't find them myself. I'm not a researcher. But I do believe from my own experience that climate change is real. But can't I just have that calm opinion?
No. You can't, because that's not enough.
You just have to be on either side of the scale.
You have to ratchet it up. And this is the point too. Like, so as a result of the fact that I can't just quietly believe that climate change is a problem, and let's say maybe I recycle or
I've bought a glass straw.
Or you bought, yeah. Like, I've been given two of those stainless steel straws in the last couple of days, and I'm going to use them. So I've got one in my gym bag, and I've got one in the car, and blah, blah, blah. So, but I'm not going to go and virtue signal about it. I'm not going to go and tell everybody.
Snap pictures.
I'm not going to take pictures of it
put them on Instagram and shit.
So I'm obviously not enough of a zealot. But here's the problem, is that the people who are doing that stuff are so off-putting. Let me read this email. This will give you an idea.
Read the email, Gareth.
You know what? You know what? Yeah. You know what? I'm going to read the email.
Yeah, damn it.
What should I read? I think I should read
Gareth, it. Yeah, just go read ahead. The
yeah.
email.
Yeah, go All right. ahead.
So this is this is an interesting one. It comes from Karina. She says, a quick word to let you know, Wednesday's show is my most favorite one yet. I'll admit in these past 5 years, Gareth's rants have always been the icing of the cake. When Wednesday's show, featuring the three Gs, that's Gugu, Gord, Gareth, and Sia, was a workshop on how to have a healthy, intense, and funny debate. I was fully on Gord's side, re Greta Thunba whatever. I must admit, Gareth, that you persuaded me to look at things differently and more pragmatically. I find myself so hungry to debate, dissect, and untangle hot topics with those in my inner circle. Sometimes the planets align and I get to scratch this itch by having a friendly but confrontational discussion. Other times, those I thought I knew begin to display a wokeness that is standoffish and non-negotiable and utterly unpleasant. That's what I was talking about, right? She says, currently I find myself in conflict with a dear friend because of a Trevor Noah stand-up bit about deaf people. She's decided to be offended on behalf of all deaf people.
Oh, it was funny, actually.
She's not deaf, but she's offended for deaf people.
Imagine.
And despite my attempts at a discussion with her, she refuses to watch the entire joke or even listen to my perspective. Worth noting, I was raised by deaf parents, and she has no experience with any deaf person anywhere. Insert eye roll here. I'm now giving myself the homework of recording voice notes of your show capturing the three long discussions you had about Greta. I will then send them to my work friend. She absolutely loves Greta and sings her praises at every opportunity. I genuinely hope that despite my friend's tendencies to have tantrums, she will listen and therefore learn about what it sounds like to have an informed, honest, and even oppositional discussion while staying open-minded. I am definitely curious to see if our friendship is sturdy enough to stay intact despite our opinions differing.
Look at that.
If it's not, then it's also fine. No matter the outcome, I will always have you guys to disagree with every morning. So please, keep up the good work. Keep teaching us about ourselves and our country. Keep talking nonsense and displaying your sense of humor. Keep being at the forefront of intelligent, multifaceted discussions. Thank you, thank you, thank you. With peace and love, Karina. Well, look, I'm wrong a lot of the time, and you've heard me admit that I'm wrong many times on the show. And I don't have a particular axe to grind, but I'm so put off by this wokeness. Like your friend who decides to be upset on behalf of deaf people. When you have the deaf parents and you're the one who knows about deafness, she has nothing to do with it. She's choosing that just because she thinks it gives her social cred. She thinks this makes her seem like a good person. And what we've got to break down for these people is that their judginess is actually way more off-putting than the amount of good they want us to know about them.
Just one more time. Just be quietly supportive.
Their judginess outweighs
how much of a good person they want us to think they are.
Yeah, there's no good.
Because that stands out more than...
Because actually, no one thinks about someone else and goes, what a good person.
And
certainly
if you're
not
a good
for more
person,
than a second.
Gareth, you do good. You don't put it on social media and go ranting
about it and telling
everyone about it.
No, these days it's all about that. It has no currency unless that happens.
Jeez.
Right?
What a world.
What a world. So I just thought I'd play those clips for you because it was kind of funny. And that's a way to start your Friday. All right. Are you ready to get cracking on the five things you need to know this morning? You want to get into that?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Do we have to? Let's think about
it. All right. Well, guess what our top crime in South Africa is? And I'm sorry to depress you, but...
Murder.
No.
Robbery.
Yes. Housebreaking.
You really went in there with murder, Leanne.
Yeah, she went straight for it.
I was going to go with house robbery first.
Well, you should have said that.
I should have just said that.
Gugu, just edit it out of the podcast. Leanne sounds really sharp.
Can I just, before we get into this, a friend of mine heard us playing the clip of my video where I farted in the video.
Yes.
And they thought that I farted on air.
Oh.
And she sent it to her friend in America. And now it's apparently circling around America, this clip.
Oh, okay.
Of this chick who farted on air.
But everyone thinks I actually farted on air.
Fantastic.
And they're saying how why didn't they edit it out?
Leanne, this is your legacy?
This is my legacy.
This is great. This is will get us listeners in wide and wonderful places.
Oh,
you know how we always played news podcasters who get things wrong and fumble. Well,
no, it's us.
I'm sure now this is somewhere.
No. Please go on. House robberies.
All right. So house robberies have emerged as the number one crime in South Africa, according to Governance, Crime Prevention and Justice. That's a survey that they just did. Statistician General Riseha Maluleke says that Gauteng had over 336,000 incidents of house breakings. Gauteng has the most cases, but the Northern Cape has the highest proportion of housebreaking in the country. Maluleke said the Victims of Crime 2018-2019 report was tabled on Thursday. It's by Stats South Africa, detailed household and individual crime incidents such as vehicle hijacking and home robbery.
I'm permanently scared in my home. I'm scared arriving home. I'm scared leaving home. I'm scared in my home.
That's really not a good place to live. I live on my own in a house.
Sure. And a standalone house. You see, that is why I have no vision, ambition, hope to live in a standalone house. My ultimate dream is to just live in an apartment building with one way in, one way out. And two doormen.
I do it for my cats, really. They need a garden and they need trees. And
Because
I can't imagine how on edge you are.
Yeah, it's permanent. It's really horrible.
I hate that.
Gareth, do you sleep with a gun under your pillow now?
No, no.
I sleep with my tear gas next to my pillow.
Tear gas?
Yeah.
Or you mean like...
She's got a mace spray.
Pepper spray.
Okay.
No, look. I'm just absolutely dumbstruck. 336,000 house breakings. You know, let's say that there are 1,000 people doing house breakings. It means each of them have to do 336 of them in a year. That's more than, you know, that's one a day.
Yeah.
So if there are 1,000 bad people who are each doing a house breaking a day, that would make it 1,000 criminals.
Have you seen videos of this stuff going down, like on social media?
Crazy. I didn't even need to see the videos. I have a friend who's just emigrated. He was stabbed in his house in my suburb.
Oh, jeez. In his house?
In his house with his kid there and his partner.
Oh, goodness.
And I'd go as far as saying that there are way more cases, but people just don't report it. I know in our case, when our home was first broken into and we called the cops and we called our security company, it just became too much of a mission.
Eventually you just go, ugh.
Yeah, the second time they broke into our place, at least we all woke up in the middle of the night and we were able to sound the panic button, but we thought the whole entire spiel of having to go to the police and, you know, nothing was stolen. Luckily, they're just broken into the house.
I really think we have to kill these people dead, and we have to shoot them in the heads.
Them.
No, honestly, there's only
feed
one
them
way
to the dogs.
There is only one way to deal with people who break into your house, and that is to shoot them dead. And I don't care if people think that that's extremely violent, or if they think it's a horrible thing to say. But if you come into my house, I'm going to shoot you dead. That is a blanket warning to anybody who's got any ideas around my house. And I think everyone should own guns and everyone should do the same. Really, it's the only way. Because to live in fear like you do, Leanne, is horrible.
It's horrible.
It is horrible.
And it's been like that all my life. Sure. Because, you know, when I was at varsity, my brother, who was 8 years younger than me, was a victim in our home, our family home, where there was a break-in.
Mm.
They tried to dislocate his jaw. He was 11 years old.
Oh. All right. Please, let's not go down like the road of South Africans so comparing crime
just,
stories.
It's been
horrible.
A lifelong fear.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
I don't want you to live like that. Like, get a guard with a gun to stand at your door the whole night long and shoot anyone dead.
Or get a gun, yeah.
Like, it's just...
Have you thought about that?
I have before, but not recently. Maybe I should.
Maybe you should.
Honestly, listen to Guncast, which is a podcast series we did not so long ago. Here's the thing, even if you're a big anti-gun person, it is better to have a gun and not need one than to need a gun and not have one. That's the only argument there is. You can have any other argument you like. If you think it's better that the police have the guns...
Well, good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you. You know what kind of a country you're going to live in. Anyway, there's a statistic. We didn't want to be depressing on the first hour of your Friday.
I'm still staying, by the way.
#I'm staying.
#I'm staying. Right. Manhunt has been launched for suspects behind the Northern Cape police station attack. This is amazing. Police in the Northern Cape have launched a huge big manhunt after there was an attack in a police station. Four men entered the Windsorton police station near Kimberley on Wednesday evening and held officers hostage. You know how brazen criminals have to be to actually go and hold police in the police station hostage? This is why I'm saying we need to shoot people. Honestly, like, there's no way you can reason with someone who's prepared to hold police hostage.
Police?
If this happened in America, you know what they would do?
Uh-huh.
There would be a shootout like you can't believe. Four men got in there. Four pistols, two rifles, and ammunition were taken. So guess what they're going to do with those guns?
Come after you and I.
Yep. They fled the scene with Botswana registration plates on their vehicle. Nomthandazo Mnisi from the Hawks explained what happened. There were two police officials on duty at 10:30 p.m. They pointed a gun at them, and then they robbed them, with four pistols and two rifles being taken. The men then fled the scene in a white Audi A3. A 72-hour activation plan has been initiated to find the perpetrators.
Let's
see what happens. All right. This is from EWN. They say a settlement of up to $800 million was announced on Thursday for victims of America's worst mass shooting. Wow, there's a lot of guns in the morning news this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Pew, pew.
A rampage that left 58 dead and more than 800 wounded in Las Vegas. In October 2017, a man named Stephen Paddock, remember, opened fire with a huge high-power rifle from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino, unleashing more than 1,000 rounds as he mowed down people across a crowd attending an outdoor country music festival. And they've settled. Who's paying the settlement?
Yeah, that amount of money.
Yo. MGM Resorts International and lawyers for plaintiffs in the massacre said the settlement would provide between $735 and $800 million, depending on how many plaintiffs take part in the settlement. I suppose it would be an insurance company, right?
Sure.
Must be.
It's kind of crazy. $800 million. And of course, that doesn't bring back anyone. So it's really just to kind of help people along if they've lost the breadwinner in their family, for example. And then this is interesting. Ride-hailing company Uber is taking to the air in New York City, where users with a little cash to spare will soon be able to book helicopter flights to John F. Kennedy International Airport through their app.
This is fabulous.
I love this. So, Sia, if you really have a bit of cash lying around for your New York trip, when you land at JFK in,
a
week from now, I'll be in D.C.
Oh, you're in Washington.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
Then the roughly 8-minute flight will cost between $200 and $225 per person.
Oh.
That's not even so bad.
Okay. $250.
Convert that, yeah. Let's hear it.
$3,750.
That's not too bad for a chopper.
If you're running late
for Instagram.
If you're running late for your flight, imagine.
Mm. 8 minutes.
I like this a lot.
For that Instagram shot.
We'll include ground transportation on either side of the trip because obviously you can't land right at the terminal.
Uh-huh.
You could bring along a small suitcase and you have to watch a safety video before takeoff, just like you would on an airplane. Oh. Their prices roughly compare to those of competitors, including Blade, which offers a $195 trip from JFK to Manhattan.
Hmm.
Those services do not offer ground transportation, however. Good for Uber. So is this already going? Yeah, it's already on. They're doing this already. Mm. How cool is that?
It's very cool.
Mm. I like it.
I bet you there are people who'll do it just for the experience.
Absolutely. And then a guy in Russia has filed a lawsuit against Apple for turning him gay.
Just repeat that.
A man has filed a suit in a Moscow court asking for 1 million rubles after an incident this summer in which a cryptocurrency called Gaycoin was delivered via a smartphone app. Rather than the Bitcoin that he'd ordered. His lawyer in the case said it was serious, telling AFP that her client was scared and that he suffered. The Gaycoin cryptocurrency arrived with a note saying, "Don't judge until you try," according to the complaint. "I thought, in truth, how can I judge something without trying? I decided to try. Same-sex relationship,"
now
the complaint
wrote.
"Now I have boyfriend. I do not know how to explain to my parents.
No.
My life has been changed for the worse, and I will never become normal again. Apple pushed me toward homosexuality through manipulation. The changes have caused me more than mental harm." Apple representatives in Russia did not immediately respond.
Do you know what? He actually has a good case on his hands, I have to say.
Oh, come on.
Because the message that he got on his screen was don't judge until you try.
Yes.
And this was a message that was pushed onto his phone. It was the wrong thing.
Again, he's a vulnerable, psychotic, schizophrenic patient.
He can get that 1 million. I think good on him.
Wow.
Apple made him gay. I actually like that.
All right, so that's all the news you need to know. Here are a few messages. This is from Anushka. She says, be like Kim Kardashian. She employed ex-military and Navy SEALs as her guard complement at their compound. Hmm. Yeah, but we don't all have Kim Kardashian money, Anushka. Mm,
we've only got gay coin and rands.
We've got gay coin. And I always thought that Gareth was better than me until yesterday. Gareth owns 0.008 ounces of gold. I have 0.01 ounces. Suck it, you peasant, with peace and love. That's very good. Good point. Jean, yes, you are better than me. Gareth and crew, I wish those robbers who robbed the Northern Cape police station should try robbing a Botswana police station and robbing houses. Botswana doesn't take crap from any crooks.
Botswana doesn't.
Tapelo saying that they would shoot that person dead.
Uh-huh. You know what? I think, Gareth, our laws sort of, not don't allow us, but you think twice before shooting a person in your house. Whereas in Botswana, the law supports that. You know?
Yeah, I think our laws are very often geared towards like
protecting criminals.
Yeah. And I know that people get upset when you say that, but it does. Like, for example, we have, you know, if someone gets shot and it's a criminal, for example, the law doesn't really say, well, you know, we're going to, because it's a criminal, we're not going to treat them. Like, I think if you are a criminal and you're shot in an incident, they should just leave you to bleed out there. Like, right. I have no compassion. If you're the kind of person who's been trying to rape or murder or steal.
Or jump into someone's yard.
Yeah, and something terrible happens to you. By the way, if someone who does not live in a house is shot on a property by someone who does live in the house, the
logic,
the benefit of the doubt should be on the side of the person whose house it is. They didn't go out and find someone to shoot. Someone came into their property. I mean, you know, there are in the law, there are these provisions for self-defense, but you have to prove everything, including equal force. Now,
yeah. Can't use deadly force if deadly force wasn't applied.
Big deal.
Oh, it's so stupid.
It's the weekend, baby. Morning, team. Thank you for an excellent show. On the topic of being afraid, this morning my jogging partner bailed and I was forced to go to gym. Even though it was a beautiful morning for a run, I could not afford as a woman to go and run alone. It made me sad and furious. I think that's also not cool. On a happy note, it's the weekend, baby. Yeah, that's true.
It is the weekend.
Let's think about that for a second. And Greg says, I can relate to what Leanne said about being afraid and aware all the time of living in Joburg in a freestanding house. It's actually sad that in a normal way of life, you have to be extra alert and aware. Cops in Botswana don't even carry guns, Tapelo. They'll beat you to death with their batons. Yo, that's hectic, and that comes from Pabalo. And then, hey guys, do you know what I hate about these people, these Russians?
What do you hate?
That Apple can't just say, fuck off, you idiot. Why can't we say that anymore? That's from Leighton. Yeah, if people talk nonsense, why can't you just say to someone, just go to hell? Like, there's no chance you could sue Apple for making you gay. Are you kidding? You must have wanted to try.
It's a good case.
Oh, come on. Grant and Nelspruit says, morning, guys. On the way from Pretoria to Nelspruit, my wife had her some new titties installed 6 weeks ago. Ah. Today is week 6 checkup, and if all goes well, I'm going to be motorboating. Happy Friday.
Oh, Grant. It's a
happy day.
Definitely a happy Friday to you.
Someone says, it's great to hear that Sia now has a casting couch in his office. Is this the prelude to the return of Tapping the Talent?
What? Tell me more, Garrett.
Tapping the Talent was Sia's show.
You don't want to know.
Uh-huh. Tapping the Talent was a show Sia used to have. We used to invite all these really good-looking men on the show for reason.
Is that where that couch came from?
Like they were chess players and there were models and I don't know what he was talking to them about.
Uninteresting people.
Look,
well, you're not defending yourself.
They were interesting to see.
Yeah.
There were great conversations to be had. And the fact that they were attractive wasn't the point.
Okay, we'll believe
wasn't the point.
Just wasn't the point.
All right, very good. That's enough about all that stuff. Very serious things for this morning, except for Sia's casting couch and Grant and Nelspruit's wife's new titties.
That is fantastic. Actually very exciting.
Isn't that fantastic? This week in our debating show, The Interchange, we discuss whether democracy is actually a universal solution for African governance. I mean, a lot of people think democracy is something sacred as well. And really, is it the best system? Well, it may just be the best of a really bad bunch of systems. Because they talk about, for example, Rwandan President Paul Kagame and his contrasting leadership with that of Yoweri Museveni. Examples of incumbent leaders who function in democracies, yet the outcome of their leadership is worlds apart. While there are African countries that have thrived under democracy, the question remains, is it a system imposed on Africa, or is it the universal solution for African governance? Listen to The Interchange on cliffcentral.com. You can get it on our app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's all made possible by Absa and Simong. And if you haven't listened to one of those, yeah, it's really good. It's such a good show. I love it.
Makes you think, eh?
Big time. Well, that's exactly right, Gugu. Makes you think.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
For a change.
Yes. What's everybody doing this weekend?
Well, I'm starving this weekend.
Sounds great. Sounds like everybody's got marvelous plans.
Yeah, I think I'm going to starve.
Okay, you start, Gareth.
No, I have none.
Really?
No, seriously, none. Not a single plan.
You're just going to sleep.
I might. Sleeping late is not just a good plan, it's the best plan.
I use weekends to catch up on work, family.
Oh, Leanne. That's
exciting. Oh, Leanne.
You know?
Take leave on weekends or something.
Well, I'm going on a date tomorrow that I'm really not excited for.
Why go?
I'll cancel
it. Will you set
up? Yeah, well, like, he's someone who I bump into a lot in social circles. And he's been flirting with me for a while, so now I'm like, I can't exactly say.
Aren't you scared he's listening right now?
Hi. No, I don't think he is.
So he's going to go through all his pictures of Meghan and Harry, and he's going to blow them up and turn them into posters for his office.
No, this is why, at the core of it, I'm not excited to go. He's like, you know what? No. Like, we've been trying to meet her for a while now. And we finally concluded on tomorrow because, in his opinion, there's this great special at a restaurant. Now, if the very first date, you are trying to be impressive.
Sounds a bit cheap.
And want to get like a buy two, get one free deal. Then you're not my kind of fish. No, thank you. Then I want you. I'm not interested at all. So I'm just, you know, going tomorrow just to take it off my list. But other than that, I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Good luck, Sia. That sounds like a horrible first date.
No,
first thing he
no
wants
luck
you to know,
necessary
first thing
at
he
all.
Wants you to know is that he's cheap.
You know, and
he's looking for a bargain.
He could have turned it around somehow. He could have just said, you know, there's this great restaurant that I know.
And not mentioned the special.
Exactly. But clearly he's cheap and also he's not aware of like the social cues of also. You know, not that being cheap is a bad thing. But you know, you can
he owns
it. Yeah, he's a gangster. He owns his cheapness. Right? No.
He's the type of person that'll say, no, let's not go out. Let's just sit at home. The most important thing is just, you know, spending quality time together. Miss me. Then he'll say the love we have is the most important. He won't buy me a ring. No.
Here's an interesting message from Adam. He says, hey, guys, started watching that Bill Gates documentary that someone on your show suggested. It is so interesting. Amazing to see how Bill Gates devours books and processes and retains the information in them. Thanks for the suggestion, Adam. I've still got to watch it.
It's very long. It's a 3-part series. I wanted to watch it the other day, but I just thought, oof, it's a lot of time to give in.
Look, I think a lot of people feel bad when they hear someone else reads a lot of books. First of all, Bill Gates makes time to read books. He's a busy man. I mean, he's actually got stuff to do. And he isn't looking for leisure time. He travels the world. He's trying to solve problems like communicable diseases and that kind of thing. He's doing amazing work. He really is. You talk about good people, you know, these evil billionaires who are trying to help the world. This is one of them. And yet he sets aside time to read books because like the point of life, as far as I can see, is to learn as much as you can before you go. It's certainly one of the reasons you're alive. And I know that there's pressure on all of us. You don't get to read as much as you might want to. Maybe you read slowly. Maybe you're just exhausted by the time you get home and you don't have time to read. I'll tell you what's changed my life is audiobooks and podcasts. And I know we talk about podcasts here because if you're listening to us, you're probably a convert already to podcasts. You can find a podcast on anything. And some of them are really good. Some of them are terrible. But some are really good and will teach you about stuff. If you don't have time to read a book, listen to a podcast. Listen to an audiobook. You can fit that into your life. It's the most amazing way to spend your time rather than just, you know, listening to bullshit.
Or watching Netflix.
A friend of mine just recently deleted all of the games off of her phone.
Yeah.
All of the social media off of her phone to force her to read a book at night.
Wow.
Because that is the biggest thing that takes up your time.
It's so much easier to pick up your phone and play a game.
Go on Instagram or play a game. Yeah.
That's a good point. This is interesting. While I was living in Cape Town, some guy tried to break into my house while I was there. My two pit bulls were in the house while I was taking a shower. All I heard was, help me, several times. He managed to get away, but not without leaving a piece of his buttock in his jeans pocket with 50 rand in it. I bought them two huge ox bones because they deserve it. A job well done to my pit bulls. And that comes from Vincent.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that my little Minpin Joey is 12. He's got 3 years left in him.
Oh, that thing is small.
And he's deaf.
I saw it.
Yeah, he can't hear a thing, yeah.
He's just become deaf, yeah. But he used to be an excellent watchdog.
Yeah.
Like I could sleep in confidence.
No, he can't hear anything.
There was a cat in my house the other night that there was fluff flying all over the place and he couldn't hear a thing. So maybe that's an idea is to get I love pit bulls.
Although they're
not going to love my cats.
No, they will eat your cats.
Garrett, do you think your fluffy dog...
No, he's a useless watchdog.
Yeah.
Terrible.
He looks like it.
Speaking of my useless dog, Carl. Carl has just sent us a message. It's not the dog.
He's not useless if he can text.
No. Gates apparently reads 150 pages an hour, and they reckon he retains 90% of what he's reading. Yeah, look, there are some people who are just supremely good at reading. I know people who can speed read.
Mm.
They can go through a book in like an hour and a half, a whole book, and they'll retain all of it. That's something to be jealous of.
I think it's also two things. It's like the getting into the habit, you know, just like exercising that muscle of reading, because a lot of us, I don't think, read often. And the second thing is making it a priority. It's not that we don't have time. It's just that we don't prioritize it. We'd far rather, you know, sit in front of the TV or be in the car and we're driving somewhere. But if you prioritize it as something you have to do every single day, then of course you'll have that time.
If you could choose between being able to speed read and having a helicopter to get you anywhere, which would you choose?
Speed read and retain the information?
Yeah.
Oh, no, speed read and retain the information. Because then
a long way.
That'll be smart enough.
Because that'll get you
your
a
own
helicopter.
One, yeah.
10 helicopters, yeah. Anyway, I just saw the video that Sia told us about the fake blood that the climate activists sprayed all over the place. And it's like all over the front of the building. And oh my God, what lunatics.
I think it was three men and one woman who were arrested. And these are, you know, what does Sally Ann...
What's she doing? She's probably a housefrau.
Yes.
She's probably got like three kids at home. We're like, Mom, we're hungry. Where's our sandwich? And she's busy with, I'm an apprentice to climate. And also, there's no one else in the street, by the way. It's just no one around. It's just ridiculous.
And now silly Anne with her button-up, you know.
Yeah, her she's got
blouse,
red stains all over her blouse now, and she has to go to jail, and it's just so embarrassing. Don't do it. You know, protesting is just so dumb. Them I must go. Them I must go.
You need the right kind of people, Garrett. Not Sally Ann's. You sing.
All protesters are dumb.
Okay, you're right. Yeah. Especially South African protesters who just break shit and kill shit.
The reason so many people want to get out on the streets and protest is because living in their houses is much more embarrassing. That's the truth. Well, they live like animals. They don't have any, you know, pride or dignity in their own environment. So they go out into the street and tell everyone else how they think they should live. It's just ridiculous. These are people who are not, they don't have personal responsibility for anything. So they make it about everyone else's problems.
Mm.
You're going to solve the world's problems by putting red dye in a fire truck. Come on, honey. I'll bet you don't even...
What does that have to do with climate change?
If you go and look at her house, I'll bet you find like piles of rubbish lying around. I'll bet you see that she uses plastic just about everywhere. it's probably a mess. She uses loads of detergents in her washing and puts them straight into the sewage system.
She drives an SUV, V8.
Right.
Yeah.
But she's going to tell everyone else in the world that they must... Now, it's time for you to start standing up against the climate.
Oh, Sally.
Eroded.
Yeah. A little rodent.
It's just crazy. Cool. It's just, it's insane. We shouldn't be taking people like that seriously. Okay.
We call her Sally Ann.
Yeah, Sally Ann. That's her name. It actually says here on the clip. All right.
I don't like the fact that my name is in that.
Sorry. Lee Ann. Sally Ann. Ryan says, hey guys, Sia mentioned a while ago he'd be happy living in an old age home one day. Did you say that?
Yes.
I think if he listens to Tea with Helen Ziller, and specifically the episode where she speaks to Max Dupria, he will be able to hear firsthand what it will sound like in an old age home every single day. It might just change your mind. That's from Ryan.
Oh, well, God, Helen, you know, is still busy on the Twitter streets. She asked Julius to be on her podcast. Julius was like, you must be mistaken.
Michelle says, hey, Gareth, here's my Pitbull jersey and my Bengal layer. That's a cat, by the way. It's not a Bengal tiger. Oh, Michelle at the aquarium. She also says, I'm starting to feel like my messages are getting lost in the Twilight Zone. No, Michelle, I can't read all the messages. And they stream in, and sometimes I miss them, so I apologize. She says, Telegram doesn't work. WeChat and WhatsApp don't work. I can't get hold of you. Oh. Michelle, calm down.
Get it.
Don't panic.
Where are you?
Where are you? Just calm down, all right? Everybody take a chill pill. It's Friday.
It is Friday.
Yes, very nice. Love okay, it. Let's get your morning off to a good start. When we come back, we'll hit some news. We'll take your calls, messages, whatever's up.
Whatever, I don't know.
Whatever's up, yeah. Whatever, I don't
message
know.
In the bottle for right. You, Michelle.
Yes.
A dove with the mess.
Yes, we'll send you, we'll send a carrier pigeon to you.
That's send a scar rodent.
Yeah, there we go. CliffCentral.com